Zephaniah 3:17 says that the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Let those words wash over you, encourage you, bring you joy. The Lord your God, the Almighty, all-powerful, most holy, creator of the universe, heaven's victorious and mighty warrior, is with you. He not only dwells within you, he surrounds you. He hasn't left you, forsaken you. He hasn't given up on you, and he never will. Well, welcome to the Point of Purity podcast. I'm your host, Steve Ettner, author, national speaker, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry. This is week two of a brand new series focused on discovering from Scripture the point of purity and how to get there. So I want to begin today's podcast with a very powerful declaration. You ready? Listen, you can count on the fact that God not only has the power to free you from the enslaving habit of sexual sin, but he has already given you that same power. Now, don't take my word for it. Listen to God's promise to you in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Here's what he says. His divine power has already given you everything you need for living a godly life. 2 Peter 1, 3. Now, I want you to think about that. God has already given you his divine power. What kind of power are we talking about here? It's the power to speak into nothingness and have the entire universe come into being, Genesis chapter 1. It's the power to walk on water, Matthew 14, 22 through 33. It's the power to stand in front of the grave of a friend and shout out, Lazarus, come forth, and have a dead, stinking body come back to life, stepping out of that tomb, fully healed, fully restored, John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. It's the power to say to a raging storm, peace, be still, and have the winds and the waves instantly obey your command, Mark 4:39. It's the power to take a loaf of bread and a couple of fish and feed and comfortably fill thousands upon thousands of hungry people with plenty of food left over, Matthew 14:13 through 21. That's the kind of power that God has given to you. Now, let me quickly clarify something. I am not saying that you've been given the ability to walk on water, to stop a tornado in its tracks, or to raise the dead back to life. That's not the point here. God has given you the power. He has given you the ability to be free from your sexual sin, from any sin for that matter. You don't have to give in. You have the strength, God's given strength, God's divine power to say no. So why are you still struggling? Why do you tend to give in to the temptation more times than not? I'd like to suggest that more than likely it's at least in part because you haven't learned yet how to use the tools that he's given you. You haven't learned how to submit yourself to God, resisting the devil, and then watch as the enemy turns tail and flees from you, James chapter 4, verse 7. Well, it's my deepest passion. It's my greatest prayer that as you listen to this series, as you listen to each and every episode of this podcast, that you will find yourself drawing closer and closer and closer to your Heavenly Father. As we saw in our opener in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, God already takes great delight in you. He longs for you to see his awesome miracles displayed in the most spectacularly outstanding masterpiece he has ever created. I'm referring about you. Yes, I'm talking about you. God wants you to realize, he wants you to recognize his unfathomable love for you. We're talking about a perfect love, a love that's not based on your performance. You see, God doesn't love you more because you're improving at resisting temptation. His love for you isn't contingent upon your success rate at being a person of integrity and godliness and purity. God loves you just the way you are. Now listen closely to the following verses that I'm going to quote to you. And listen as these verses declare God's perfect love for you. I'm sure you're familiar with John 3:16. God so loved the world, that includes you, my friend. God so loved you that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends, John 15, verse 13. That's what Jesus did for you. Why? Because he loves you. In this is love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, 1 John 4:10. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners, Romans 5:8. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him, 1 John 4:16. Watch this now. The simple fact is this. God's crazy about you. He loves you. There is nothing, watch this now, there is absolutely nothing that you can do, or not do for that matter, to make God love you any more or less right now than you could have a moment ago, or a year ago, or tomorrow, or even 5 years from now. And because of his unfailing, uncompromising love for you, God is ready, God is willing, God is able to lead you to freedom from your sinful habits. Well, as we dive deep into this study together, it's going to take us a couple of months to go through this series. As we dive deep into this together, you're going to be taught biblical truth. I'm going to show you godly principles throughout every coming episode. However, now listen, we're not going to create a checklist kind of thing here. It's not about if you want to be pure, then you need to start doing this and stop doing that. I don't want you to turn any of this into a set of laws or rules or even guidelines or stipulations that you must try to keep in order to be good, in order to be pleasing to God. That's not what it's about. Now, having said that, please don't misunderstand me. There are definitely some things we have to stop doing if we're going to be pure. There are other things we need to start doing if we're going to be pure. And in time, we'll cover all of that. However, that's only a small slice of the whole purity pie. We don't want to go through life dependent upon a set of rules. Now, listen, especially if they're not biblical. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, the Apostle Paul says this, "Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, are you submitting to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they're based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack value in restraining sensual indulgence." Colossians 2, 20 through 23. Here's my point. Rules all by themselves will not make you pure. Just following the rules won't quench the thirst that we talked about in last week's episode. This podcast, every episode we are doing, it's not about rules. If we focus all of our attention on keeping the rules, then when we break one of them, which we're prone to do, we're going to feel like we're a failure. The enemy is going to chime right in. He's going to try to convince you, you're never going to be free of this. Why are you bothering? Just give up. So I'm not wanting you to learn a set of rules for the sake of following the rules. That's not what will set you free. In fact, I want to submit that the rules will just put you into a different kind of bondage. No, I'm talking about changing your way of life, starting from changing your heart. Our ultimate goal is real, genuine change from the inside out. So I promise you, if you prayerfully apply yourself to what I'm going to be teaching you in this series, you will discover that you can truly be the person God designed you to be, one who is pure, one who is glorifying him in everything you think, say, and do. You will discover what the Bible calls the abundant life. Jesus talked about it in John chapter 10, verse 10. It's a life that's deeply satisfying. You will experience God's perfect, loving, holy touch of healing in your life. Let me tell you a little story here. The story is taken from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 19, and it goes something like this. He had been a cripple since birth, born with twisted feet, incapable of walking without help. Society branded him an outcast. Unable to work, he was reduced to the daily task of begging for money, just so he could feed himself. And so, every day, as far back as he could remember, he sat next to the temple entrance, head bowed low, basket raised high above his head, begging the passing worshipers to find it in their hearts to give him something, anything. Well, on this particular day, it was a day no different than the one before that, or the thousands before that. The beggar sat in his usual spot, crying his usual cry, expecting the usual result. However, today, his life was about to drastically change forever, and change in a way he could never have anticipated, never in a million years. It was nearly 3 in the afternoon, and Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray. And as they arrived at the entrance, the two disciples stopped, looked down at the beggar, and did something no one had ever done before. You see, everyone else ignored him. Everyone else gave him a wide berth, pretending he didn't even exist. Everyone else averted their eyes, shook their heads, and rushed past. But Peter and John, they stopped to talk to him. "Look at us," Peter instructed. Shocked, the beggar slowly raised his eyes toward the two men who dared to speak to him. "Money we do not have, so money we cannot give." Discouraged, the beggar lowered his basket and began to look away. "However," Peter continued, "what we do have, we freely give to you." Reaching down and grabbing the beggar's hand, Peter spoke in a clear and authoritative tone. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Instantly, the beggar felt something he had never felt before. Strength began to flow like a mighty river into his ankles and his feet. And then he did something directly from the pages of his wildest dreams. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk all on his own, something he had never done before in his life. Giddy with excitement and awe, he followed Peter and John into the temple, all the while jumping, spinning around, and shouting for joy. The commotion inside the normally quiet temple drew a large crowd. Many of the people recognized the beggar. News spread fast that the cripple who had been sitting at the temple entrance for all these years was now inside, walking and jumping. Yes, jumping. Truly a miracle had just happened. Seizing the opportunity to give God the glory, Peter spoke up. "Men of Israel," pointing to the beggar who was still jumping for joy, he continued, "why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? God did this, and he can do the same thing for you." Peter paused, looking into the eyes of everyone in that room. Then, taking a deep breath, he shouted, "Repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Well, I challenge you to stop and think about this story from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 19 that you just heard. You see, you and I are just like that crippled beggar. On our own, we can't walk the path of purity. Hey, let's face it. You've tried, right? But you can't, because you're crippled. You're maimed by the sinful desires of the flesh. You've been sitting by the wayside, crying out for help. But up to this point, it feels like you've just been ignored. Even now, as you're listening to this podcast, you're listening to this specific episode, as you listen to that story, you're hoping against hope that this time, something will be different. Well, if you allow it, it will be. Not because we're offering some great program or method, and certainly not because this guy named Steve Ettner is some awesome purity guru. No, I cannot change you. But here's what I can do. I can lead you to the only one who has the power to totally change your life, 2 Peter 1:3. Oh, my friend, listen, there is hope. There is help. There is freedom. And it comes only from a right, vibrant, growing relationship with God. He wants to give you the victory. He wants to give you the freedom. He wants to give you the power if you'll let him. Well, I want to make sure that you understand the point that I'm trying to make here. Your hope, your help, your healing won't come from me. Won't come from this podcast. It won't come from your pastor. It won't come from any human being or book or resource or tool that man has created. No, we're just instruments that God will use to guide you along the way. Only God can. Only God will help you have lasting victory over this beast in your life. The key. The critical, vital, essential point you must not miss here, the piece, if you will, that puts the whole puzzle together, is found in Peter's words to the Jews in the temple that day that God healed that beggar. In Acts 3:19, he said this, "Repent, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Before you can experience forgiveness, before you can experience healing, before you can experience those times of refreshing, you must repent. Okay, so what does it mean to repent? Well, repentance involves a whole lot more than just saying, "I'm sorry." To repent requires a change in direction. It demands a conscious choice to turn away from one thing and turn toward something else. I want you to think about that. When you are turning to something, it also automatically means you're turning away from something else. For you, listener, for you specifically, to be sexually pure, what must you turn away from? I want you to think about that. What is it that you must turn away from? We know what you need to turn to. You need to turn to God. But what do you need to turn away from? And why is it so critical that you turn away from that specific thing? What hold has that tried to have on your life? Our goal here is simple enough. Stop lusting. Stop looking at porn. Stop giving into sexual temptation, right? Let's face it. You're tired of the battle. You've been fighting this for a long time. You just want to be free. But every time you've tried to get serious about this, well, you may do well for a little while, a few days, maybe in a few weeks of alleged freedom. But at some point, you mess up. You fall right back into the same old habits again and again and again. Believe me, I know. I've been there. I think it's important that we take a few moments here to talk about the motivation of our heart. Your motivation for doing something, whatever that something may be, your motivation for doing it or is the reason or it's the reasons, there may be many reasons here that you have behind a particular choice that you're making or an action that you're taking. Let me explain. Almost everything we do has a motivation behind it. You eat because you're hungry, or at least you think you are. You sleep because you're tired. You bite your fingernails or you bounce your leg because you're anxious about something. And so on and on and on the list can go. Even your sinful choices, watch this now, even your sinful choices have a motivation behind them. You have been lusting. You've been looking at pornography. You've been giving into masturbation for a reason. There is a motivation behind it. I wish right now that you and I could be sitting down together, person to person, face to face, and just have a heart-to-heart chat, because I have three very important questions I want to ask you here. So even though it's not possible for us to be in physical proximity to each other at this moment, it's still vital that you answer these questions honestly, straight from your heart. Don't try to give answers that you think are the right ones. If it's not coming from your heart, it is a wrong answer. Excuse me. So I want you to avoid the urge to impress anyone with your responses. All right, here we go. Question number one. Do you want to experience real victory in your life over sexual temptation and sexual sin? Now, you may be sitting there chuckling and saying, well, that's a fundamentally basic question. You may wonder why I'm even asking. It's kind of like asking, do ducks quack or is water wet? And yet, I'm going to ask again. Do you, with all of your heart, want to be victorious? Now, before you offhandedly answer, well, duh, of course I do, I want to encourage you to second guess yourself, maybe even third and fourth guess as well. Do you truly, with all of your heart, want to experience real, lasting victory in your life? Now, I'm going to assume that your answer is yes, or this is going to be a very short podcast. I want you to consider this. Simply wanting something doesn't make it happen. As of this recording, I want to lose 25 pounds. But unless I actually do something, like change my routine, include a specific diet and exercise program, losing the weight just isn't going to happen. No matter how much I may think I want it, it's not going to happen. In other words, if my heart isn't in it, it won't happen. Well, for many years, I thought I wanted victory in my life. I was under the impression that my deepest desire was to be free from that vice grip that lust and porn and masturbation held onto me with. And yet, my daily actions, my everyday life choices said otherwise. My day-to-day behavior was shouting out loud and clear that I didn't want purity bad enough. You see, my want to was actually a won't do, which resulted in a clearly unmistakable don't do. Now, please don't misunderstand me here. The desire for sexual purity was definitely there. I hated the person I was becoming. I hated the damage I was causing, but I was enjoying the perceived pleasures of my sin, Hebrews 11:25, way too much to take it any further than a token acknowledgement that, yeah, I've got a problem and I probably should deal with it sometime, sooner than later, but probably later. There was still a strong part of me that just didn't want to let it go. I didn't want the victory more than I wanted the war. And so the battle in my heart raged on. So question number one is, do you want to experience real victory in your life over sexual temptation and over sexual sin? Excuse me. Question number two is this. What do you want to be victorious over? Let me repeat the question. What do you want to be victorious over? Now, again, you may be wondering at the simplicity of the question here, but there's a point here. I want you to be specific. Precisely, what do you want victory over? What needs to change in your life? Now, I know for some of you, that may be a big step, a hard step. I mean, it's not easy to expose these things. But as we will see later on in another episode, sin loves darkness, John 3:19. This beast of sexual temptation wants to stay hidden in the shadows. It doesn't want you to expose it. It wants to stay in the darkness where it can do the most damage. So as you threaten to reveal it, to actually identify what it is that I'm struggling with and what it is I want victory over, as we're exposing it, you can expect it to fight back. One step in the path to genuine victory, a key step, a primary step, is disclosure, exposing the sin to the light. You see, as long as our struggles and issues remain vague and nameless, we're not going to know exactly what it is we're up against. And watch this now. When you don't know what you're fighting, you don't know how to combat it. And the result is you end up taking pot shots in the dark. You're swinging aimlessly at nothing but air. And you're hoping against all hope that maybe, just maybe, you might connect and strike a blow. Well, let's face it, that can be discouraging, not to mention exhausting. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to feel. So by keeping your sin nameless, by keeping it in the shadows, hidden in the dark recesses of your heart, you're giving it exactly what it wants, anonymity and autonomy. So question number two is, what do you want to be victorious over? And then here's the third question, why? Why do you want to be victorious? What are your real reasons for wanting victory? Here's the crux. Here's the foundation upon which everything else is built. You see, your honest answer to this third question reveals a whole lot. You see, it's upon the real motivation of your heart that you're building all your efforts and all your hopes for victory. Your answer to question number three determines whether you will succeed or fail. So I want you to think carefully and then answer why. Why do I want to be victorious? Why do I want to give up this sexual addiction? Why do I want to be free? And then I want you to think very carefully about the reasons you gave in answer to question number three. You see, those reasons represent your core values. Those reasons represent your heart's motivation for change. Those reasons are the foundation upon which you have been trying to build a victorious life up to now. So what is your heart revealing to you? May I take a moment and share with you the reasons that I originally gave when my accountability partner asked me that same question? Here's what I said. I'm tired of fighting it. I don't want to lose my marriage. I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose my job again. I want to be actively serving in the ministry. I know it's the right thing to do. It's what God wants me to do. I'm afraid of what I'm becoming, and I'm tired of hating myself. Shouldn't I want to be free? Well, again, let me emphasize the importance of total honesty here. Now, it's not about you being honest with me, not even with your pastor, your accountability partner, your spouse, all of which are important. But you need to be honest with yourself to experience real change. We need to take a close, long, hard, introspective look. So if you were candid and sincere in the reasons you gave for question number three, you're beginning to catch a glimpse of your heart. I want you to think for a moment about the list that I gave you that was my list. Did anything stand out to you as an attention getter? Let me put it to you this way. What one word repeated itself in every point I made? It was the letter I, the word I. Where was my focus? The motivation of my heart at that point in time was all about King me. As you think about the reasons that you gave, let me ask you this. Where's your focus? Who's sitting on the throne of your heart and why? You see, as long as your motivation is based upon King me, you will fail. In John chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." John 8, 36 promises us that when Christ sets you free, you are truly, genuinely free. F-R-E-E, free. Imagine with me for just a moment what a genuine freedom from the lure of lust, the pull of porn, the magnet of masturbation. What would that freedom look like? What would it feel like? Can you picture yourself standing up in church on Sunday morning and singing from the bottom of your heart to the top of your lungs, "My chains are gone. I've been set free"? Well, we're going to hit the pause button here until next week's episode. I'm looking forward to continuing in this study. But until then, I want to thank you. Seriously, I want to thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this has ministered to you, if this has blessed you, challenged you, encouraged you, intrigued you, then I ask that you please let your friends know about this Point of Purity podcast. Help us spread the word. Help us help men and women across the globe win their war for sexual purity and live in freedom. And if you've not yet subscribed to this podcast, let me encourage you to do so today so that you won't miss any of our upcoming episodes. Well, until next week, this is author, speaker, and purity coach Steve Etner reminding you that if you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, He must first be glorified in your every moment thinking.